reading from 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. We can be confident in approaching God, knowing that He listens to us whenever we ask Him for anything according to His will. And since we know that He hears us when we make our requests, then we can be sure that He will answer us. 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 through 15. O magnify the Lord with me, let us exalt His name together. It is Wednesday, September 17th, 2025. We'll continue where we left off yesterday with the message by Pastor Rick Warren of Saddleback Church in the series 40 Days of Prayer. We'll hear more of the message today and then finish it up next Tuesday. Here's Pastor Rick Warren.
Okay, let's talk about what I call the four pillars of prayer. These are the fundamental truths on which everything else you believe about prayer rests. If you don't get these, you're going to see prayer as a duty, not as a delight. You're going to see it as a burden, not as a blessing. So here they are. Number one, first thing the Bible teaches is that God loves for me to talk to Him. God loves for me to talk to Him, and I would quickly add, about anything. God loves for me to talk to Him about anything. It doesn't have to be something spiritual. It doesn't have to be something religious. It just has to be whatever I'm interested in. If you're interested in something, God is interested in it too. You say, how is that possible? Well, I know that whatever you're interested in, God is interested in too. He wants you to talk to Him about it for three reasons. Number one, He loves you. God loves you. You wouldn't exist if God hadn't wanted to love you and create you to love you. That's the reason you're alive. When you love somebody, you're interested in what they're interested in. There are a lot of things I've become interested in because my wife is interested in them. And I love my wife. And so what she's interested in, I'm interested in knowing about too. So God loves you. Second thing, where do you think you got those interests? You got them from God. You know all the things that you consider to be your hobbies or your favorite sports or the things you like to do? Where in the world did you get those desires? You got them from your Creator. He wired you with them. He put them in you. And He gave every one of us different desires because we all like to do different things. That way everything in the world gets done. But your desires just didn't come out of thin air. The reason you like to do what you like to do is God made you to like to do those things. And if God put that interest in you, He actually knows what you're interested in more than you do. He knows what you like better than you do. In fact, He knows the things you wouldn't like that you haven't even experienced because He knows everything about you. He loves you, and He gave you your interests. And the third reason He's interested in whatever you're interested in is He enjoys talking with His children. He is your Father. The Bible calls Him our Father who is in heaven. And parents are interested in what their kids are interested in. So when you come to God in prayer, if you're bored in prayer, it's because you're talking about stuff to God that you think you ought to talk about, not what you're interested in. And God is interested in what you are interested in. Let me show you some verses. Psalm 103, verse 13. The Lord is like a father to His children, tender and compassionate to those who reverence Him. That means they spend time with Him. God is the Father who's tender, compassionate. He's intimately interested in everything you are interested in. Those of you who are parents, when you started having babies, did you wait until your kids could talk in order to start loving them? Of course not. Of course not. When we had our three kids, I loved them from the moment they were born, even when all they could do is jerk and poop and spit. They couldn't even smile when they're first born. They had no emotion. They had no means of communication. But I loved them deeply. Why? I'm their daddy. I'm their father. And whether they could talk or not, I had a deep, deep love for them. And let me just say this about you. Whether you ever talk to God or not, whether you ever pray or not, God deeply, deeply loves you. Whether you won't talk to Him, you don't talk to Him, or you can't talk to Him, He still loves you deeply, just like a parent loves a child who can't communicate. But as my kids began to grow, one of the deepest desires of my life was for the day that I could have a conversation with them. I longed for that conversation with my own kids. I wanted them to be able to communicate to me, and I wanted them to understand how I was communicating to them. Today, my kids are grown up. I have incredible conversations with my kids. and they're very meaningful. I love conversations with my kids. I love listening to whatever they're interested in. Why? I love them, and I'm interested in whatever they're interested in because they're my kids. And so that's the way God is with you. He loves you whether you communicate with him or not, whether you pray to him or not. But God longs for the day that you talk to him. Talk to him about the stuff that's important to you. Not the stuff that's important to him, but the stuff that's important to you. Parents long for that day they can have the conversation. And God wants you to grow up so that you learn how to talk to him. That's called prayer. Now, learning how to pray is really like learning a language. It's just another language. Whether you learn English or French or Spanish or Arabic or Farsi or Korean or any language, whatever language you use, you have to do certain things to learn it. Prayer is a language. It's a spiritual language of God, and you have to learn it. So how do you learn to pray? Well, how do you learn a language? Well, first you listen to other people praying. You listen to other people. That's how babies learn language. They listen to others. They start by imitating, but then they learn on their own. And they start practicing, and they start practicing, and they get better. And all of a sudden, a word comes out, and then few words, and then words become sentences. Now, let me ask you, did your first sentence make sense? I doubt it. I doubt you came out of the womb saying, 87 years ago, our forefathers married our four mothers and had four babies. No. Now, when you said your first words, you could barely say them correctly, but your parents were smart enough to interpret what you were saying. God's smart enough to interpret what you're saying to him, even when you can't say it correctly, even when you can't say it well. Why? He loves you. And your first sentences in prayer might not make a whole lot of sense. That doesn't matter. God loves you. He cares about you. He's not waiting for you to get mature before he starts loving you. He loves you at every stage of your life. It's like when my kids would bring me pictures at 1 year old and 3 years old and 10 years old, and I'd say, that's perfect. Well, was I saying, that's the best picture in the world? No, I'm saying it's perfect for your stage in life. God doesn't wait for you to get to a certain level to start loving you. And when he wants you to learn to pray, he wants you to learn to talk to him because God loves for you to talk to him. He loves it. He's not bored by it. He's not, busied by it. He's not going, oh, no, you're here again. No, he is waiting to talk to you, and he wants to talk to you, and he wants you to talk to him literally about anything. And the fact is, when you talk to God, there's nothing off limits. Some people think they should only pray about spiritual things, like world peace and stuff like that. No, you can. If you've got an upset stomach, you can talk to God about that. If your heart's been broken by some girlfriend or boyfriend who just dumped you, you can talk to God about that. You can talk about mosquitoes. You can talk to God about anything. He's interested in anything you're interested in. He loves it. He loves it when you talk to him because he's your father. And just like a parent loves it when a child talks to him. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 and 15 says this. We can be confident in approaching God, knowing that he listens to us whenever we ask him for anything according to his will. And since we know that he hears us, when we make our request, then we can be sure that he will answer us. Now, I want you to notice a couple things. You might circle this in these verses. Twice in that verse, it says, we know that he listens to us, and we know that he hears us. That's a for sure. God always hears you, no matter how you say it, when you say it, how loud you say it, or if you think it in your mind. God knows he listens to you, and he hears you. Because of that, he says we can be confident in approaching God. We can be sure that he will answer. We have confidence. That means that when you pray, God says, you can pray with no shame. You can pray with no fear. You can pray with no hesitation. You can pray with no embarrassment. There's nothing you can say that will make God stop loving you. There's nothing that will embarrass you. There's nothing that will cause shame or fear because God loves it when you talk to him. Now, I want you to write down a couple. I gave you some misconceptions about prayer. Let me give you a couple of truths about prayer. Write these down. Prayer is a conversation, not a ceremony. Prayer is a conversation, not a ceremony. What's a ceremony? It's something with a bunch of rules and restrictions and regulations. You have to do it in a certain way or it doesn't work. Years ago, when I was a young man, I lived in Japan. I taught English. I helped plant a church in Nagasaki, Japan. And one day they took me to a tea ceremony. This is like a five-hour thing that is full of ritual about how you sit, how you turn, what you do, how they pour the tea, how they strain the tea. It's incredibly elaborate, and you can actually spend years learning how to do a tea ceremony properly. That's a ceremony. You have to do it just right or it doesn't count. There is no just right way to pray. Prayer is not a ceremony. Prayer is a conversation. Now, in a conversation, it means you talk, but you also listen. And one of the reasons you're bored with prayer is because you do all the talking and you never listen. If you just do a monologue to the sky in the dark and you don't get any answer and you don't hear any impressions, well, of course it's going to be boring. But you got to take the time to be quiet and to just listen and to say things like, God, is there anything you want to say to me? I do this every day in my quiet time. God, is there anything you want to say to me right now? I read the word. Sometimes there's an impression from the word. Sometimes it puts an impression in my mind. Sometimes nothing. Nah, everything's fine. Copacetic. A-okay. Let's get started with the day. But you're open to whatever God wants to say to you. Prayer is a conversation. And during 40 days of prayer, I'm going to teach you not only how to talk to God, I'm going to teach you how to listen to God, because that's a conversation. It's not a monologue. It's not a speech. It's not a poem. It's not an essay. Those things are boring. It's talking and listening to God. It's a conversation. Number two, write this down. Prayer is a relationship, not a ritual. Prayer is a relationship, not a ritual. It's all about getting close to God. It's all about talking to God and becoming acquainted with God and getting to know God and letting you learn more about Him. If prayer is boring for you, it's because you don't understand the point of it. Let me say it again. If you're bored by prayer, it's because you don't understand the point. And you're talking about all the wrong things. You're talking about things you think you ought to talk about, and it becomes a duty, it becomes a drudgery, and then it comes, I should pray, I have to pray, I ought to pray. And friends, once you get in that trap, you're not going to want to pray, because guilt motivation only lasts about as long as the guilt does. God doesn't want you feeling guilty about prayer. He loves to talk to you. He loves to listen to you talk to Him. Guilt has nothing to do with it. It's not a duty. It's a privilege. I get to talk to the creator of the universe, and He wants to listen. What an amazing truth that is. And not only is it amazing that He wants to listen, but He is interested in everything that I'm interested in. So I can talk to Him about anything. God, had a bad day today at work. This now. God, I really like this team. I really want them to win. They're probably not going to win, but I can talk to you about it anyway. You can talk to God about anything. Nothing is off limits, because God loves it when you talk to Him about anything. That's the first law of prayer, the first principle or pillar of prayer. Number two, here's the second foundational truth. God listens to prayers that are sincere and simple. God listens to the prayers that are sincere and simple. You don't have to use flowery language. You don't have to use fancy phrases. You don't have to sound spiritual. You don't have to use religious cliches. You just talk to God. The only condition is that it is sincere. That means it comes from the heart, and it's simple. It's authentic. It's real. It's gutsy. It's honest. You pray about what you feel like praying about, not what you think you ought to pray about. And it's just simple, and it is sincere. And you don't get up and start addressing God, oh, thou great potentate of the universe, thou who dost wonderfully bestow on us all manners of beseeched blessings. And God's going, huh? First, why are you talking to me in 200-year-old English? I'm not from England. God is not from England. You don't have to sound like Shakespeare, okay? God understands every language. He understands lingo, slang. He knows it all. He invented it all. And so you just come to God, hey, God, it's me. Sometimes the simplest prayer is the most powerful prayer. You know, when you're hungry, you know, we get all these cliches and we get all these rituals we learn from other people, and then we just use them like that's what we're supposed to say. Like you sit down to eat your dinner and you say, bless this food to the nourishment of our bodies and our bodies to thy service. Bless the gift and the giver. Where'd you get that? Oh, you learned it from somebody else. It'd be a whole lot better to go, God, I'm hungry right now, and this taco smells really good, and my salivary glands are, so this is going to be short, Lord, but thank you for fast food. Amen. God likes that prayer a whole lot better than bless the gift and the giver and bless this food to the nourishment of our bodies and our bodies to your service. Okay? You know, the simplest prayer. God, thank you, thank you, thank you for In-N-Out. Amen. Okay, all right. Just, it doesn't have to be super spiritual sounding. God hears, listens to the prayers that are sincere and simple. They're real, they're gutsy, they're honest. And when you don't feel good, God, I don't feel like talking to you right now. That's a prayer. God, I'm mad at you. That's a prayer. God, I don't get it. I prayed for this and it hasn't happened. That's a prayer. God just wants you to be honest. If you don't understand this, go read the Psalms. One-third of the Psalms, 50 of the Psalms, of the 150 Psalms, are called Psalms of Lament. They're complaints. They're complaints to God. God, I've been asking you for this job, and it hadn't showed up. I'm still out of work. I need some help here. When you say it like that, it's honest. It's authentic. It's real. God loves prayers that are sincere and simple, not the phony baloney stuff that you encouch at all of the religious jargon. Have you ever heard, of course you have, people who pray a prayer and they've got one request, but then they say it about nine different ways because they think that longer is stronger. And you're going, man, land the plane, buddy. You know, you're just saying the same thing over and over and over in a fresh way, or not even a fresh way, in a boring way. If somebody out on the patio says, I'm going into surgery tomorrow, the prayer can simply be, Lord, my friend's going into surgery tomorrow. Would you help them? Help the doctors not make any mistakes. Give them a quick recovery. Have a minimal pain. I'm asking you this in Jesus' name. Boom. You don't have to go into a 20-minute lecture on the value of the hospital and find a bunch of other verses. Just say what you want to say. Would you write this down? Longer is not stronger in prayer. Simple, sincere, humble, authentic, those kind of prayers. God's much more interested in those kind of prayers than the long-winded, stem-winding sermon in a sentence and sermon in a prayer where you go on and on and on and on. No, you don't need to do that. Longer is not stronger. Just get to the point. Now, Jesus had a lot to say about praying sincerely, honestly from your gut, and simply without trying to sound super spiritual. Let me just show you one passage. We'll come back to this. Matthew chapter 6, verse 6 to 8 is out of the famous Sermon on the Mount where Jesus is talking about prayer. And here's what Jesus says. When you pray, don't be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. In other words, for them, you know, prayer is performance. It's performance art, you know. Watch me pray, everybody. I'm really going to impress you with this one. Okay, get ready. Whew, buckle up. I'm going to pray a good prayer. Here we go. And they're not praying to God. They're just showing off. He says, when you pray, don't be like hypocrites who pray just to be seen by men. I tell you the truth. They have received their reward in full. In other words, they're not going to get any more reward than that, just the praise they got from somebody who thought they were impressed by it. I tell you the truth, he says. Instead, when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. In other words, openly. And when you pray, he says, don't keep babbling on and on and on and on and on like the pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Longer is not stronger. Do not be like them. This is Jesus talking. For your Father knows what you need even before you ask. So it's not like you got to convince God. He already knows what you need. Just come to him as simply and as honestly and as humbly as you can say and talk about what you need. Now, that passage right there is literally loaded. We could spend about 2 hours unpacking it, but let me just summarize it for you. He says three or four things. He says, first, don't use prayer to show off. And we've all seen people do that. They go, I got a good one. Watch this. It'll blow everybody away. Whoo, here it comes. Okay. You knocked that one out of the park, man. Whoo. Don't use prayer to show off to impress other people. You don't get any credit for that kind of prayer, and God doesn't even listen to that kind of prayer. He says, instead, be sincere. Don't spout off cliches. And sometimes, because we're afraid of our prayers being too short, we just start adding in filler things. You don't need to add in filler. And by the way, you know what one of the favorite fillers of Christians today is? The word just. We use it like, It's like, Lord, we just want to thank you today, and we just are here today to praise you because you're great. You're just wonderful, and just thank you, just God. And so just now we praise the Lord. I just want to pray. Just. It's like going, You can take out all the just out of your prayer. You don't need to say just. It's empty filler. You say, God, nice day. Thanks for making this one. I'll talk to you in another 3 seconds. You don't have to have a run-on conversation. You can just pick it up where you are in another minute. Keep talking to God later on. Be sincere. Don't spout cliches. Keep it simple. Adding words to your prayer doesn't make it any stronger. Stay humble or you'll stumble. Or as I always tell pastors, remember the lesson of the whale. When you get to the top and you're ready to blow, that's when they harpoon you. Now, we're going to come back to this during 40 days of prayer, but the bottom line is this next verse, Hebrews 10:22. Let us come near to God with a sincere heart and a sure faith. Okay, there are the two qualifications, sincerity and simplicity, sincere heart and sure faith. Sincere heart means, God, I'm not going to talk to you about what I'm not interested in. I'm going to talk to you about, well, the way I really feel. You already know the way I feel. I just need to spout it out to you. I just need to confess it to you. I just need to talk about what I'm feeling right now. I'm upset. I'm nervous. I'm worried. I'm afraid. I'm confused. God, just talk to God about whatever you're feeling. Sincere heart and then a sure faith. We come to God with confidence. We're not afraid to talk to him. We're not embarrassed to talk to him. We're not hesitant to talk to him. We're not ashamed to talk to him. Why? He's a loving father who loves to listen to us talk to him. He loves to listen to you more than anybody else in the entire world.
Wow, wow, wow. Do you believe that truth that God loves to hear from you, that he delights when you talk to him, that it can be very relational and you can share anything with him, that he's a loving father that's interested in what you have to say, but also the importance to stop talking and to listen to him? Ask him what he'd like to say to you. Oh, listening friend, God loves to hear your prayers, especially when they're sincere and simple. You've been hearing a message by Pastor Rick Warren of Saddleback Church. This series is titled 40 Days of Prayer. Yesterday, today, and this coming Tuesday, we're looking at A Beginner's Guide to Prayer. So I hope you can tune in and listen. And if you missed today or yesterday or can't tune in Tuesday, stop by greatnewsradio.org or wluj.org and listen anytime under the Mark and Friends tab. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you and have a great day and night.